Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, happy Wednesday, you guys. It is Jake and Stacy. And yesterday we had Mike Salk filling in for Jake Heaps, but Jake is back in the building.
I'm back.
From your football camp, from American Ninja Warrior. You had a
Feels
busy
good.
Week.
Yeah, it was a pretty busy week. Just got back from Royal City over there on the east side of the mountains, and we do a camp there every year, but we weren't able to do it last year due to COVID, which is a big bummer, but we work with the high school kids, the youth kids out there. It's amazing. I mean, it's a small rural farm town. I heard you guys listen to a little bit yesterday. You guys were pointing out how big it is or how small it is, or however you want to point it
yeah,
out.
We're the opposite.
There was only a Subway main restaurant. There's a couple other spots, but it's the closest.
Fine dining.
It's really cool. It's one of the best high school football programs in the entire state. It's 1A football, but they take it seriously out there, and it was a blast to be out there. So the hard part was I was coaching a camp while the American Ninja Warrior run was going on TV. And so when I got done, I had like over 230 texts or something
Brad.
Like that from my, but it was mostly from our group chat. That was blown up. That was like half of the text.
Yeah.
Look at how popular I am. Nope. Everybody say congratulations. No, it was just from the group chat.
Oh yeah, fell for that. I've fallen for that before too. You see your phone, you're like 70 texts. Oh, it's my fantasy football thread.
Yeah, no, but it was awesome. I mean, in all seriousness, it was incredible. So everybody out there, I mean, thank you all for the well wishes, the support. It was so much fun. And it was fun to share that with all of you guys, something that honestly was completely outside my comfort zone, something that it was vulnerable for me, right? Because you're doing something on national TV that obviously you know you're being exposed to, your athletic prowess or not, your grip strength or
not. Well, doing it before, you're probably like, I'm probably going to fall at some point.
Yeah.
This course is really hard.
Well, you know how Akbar was on with us and talking through the course, and you don't get to run the course. You don't get to do all those other things, but they walk you through each stage of the course, right? And they tell you the rules of, okay, here's what you got to do. Here's what you can and can't do. And so when they were taking me through the course, Stacey, I kid you not, in my mind, all I cared about was the first. My goal was to get past the first stage. After that, everything was cherry on top. And so as they were taking me through, and they third stage, fourth stage, fifth stage, everything else, it was like, they were talking to me, but I wasn't listening because there's like, there's no way I'm getting to this point. I'm not going to tell that to you, but
here's how you do the wall. And you're
exactly.
I don't need to know that.
That's right. It's like, you don't need to walk me through the rules. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But man, that was so much fun. And just such a huge respect to those the ninjas and what they do and all these athletes. It's incredible. And for any of you guys who sit on the couch, you say, I could do that. That's easy.
Who's saying that?
There's people out there that sit on the couch and go, how'd you miss that? How'd you miss that? Trust me, it is extremely, extremely difficult.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you back here. And it was awesome for all of us at work to watch it all together. It was really cool. We have, by the way, for today's show, a little bit of something for everyone today. We've got ESPN senior NHL writer Greg Wyshynski coming on at noon. He's going to talk about his interview with new Kraken head coach Dave Hakstol, plus answer our questions about the NHL expansion draft. We've got a new Seahawks training camp series that we're going to start. In the days leading up to training camp, we're going to preview the 15 most important Seahawks for a Super Bowl run in 2021, and we'll tell you why that individual Seahawk is the most important Seahawk, and it's counting down from 15. So we'll start that today at 1 p.m. Obviously, some news coming out of the All-Star break and some Mariners stuff coming up later in the second hour. So we'll get to all of that. Before I do any of it, though, there was, obviously, you've heard it by now, breaking news from this morning. So here's what we know. And I want to differentiate between what we know and then what we're hearing. And I'm leaving anything speculative off the show. So if you see it somewhere and you're wondering why we aren't saying it, it's because we don't have a second source or we don't have an official source and we're not going to spread disinformation.
And it's really important when it comes to these kinds of situations to be factual, to be correct. I think that's really important. As we as a show talk through this, like, that's the thing that we're going to be on top of every step of the way here.
Yeah. So if you're listening right now and you guys are always so awesome with text and texting in info, and it helps so much, at least for me during the show, especially when there's breaking news. If you see something, know we've probably seen it with this story. We're just waiting for it to be confirmed with our sister station in our newsroom. So here is what we know. Richard Sherman has been booked into the King County Correctional Facility for burglary, domestic violence. He has been denied bail. We know that. Brady Henderson of ESPN did mention this, quote, a brief legal side note. King County records indicate bail denied. I spoke with a defense attorney unconnected to this case who explained that bail is always denied until a suspect appears before a judge. Sherman was booked just after 6 a.m., so it's reasonable to think that he may not have appeared before a judge yet. So we don't know why bail is denied. We know why it's denied, and there's more than one possible reason that it would have been denied. We know that there was some kind of vehicle involved at some point. Adam Schefter has a series of tweets and details emerging, starting with Washington State Police are investigating Richard Sherman in connection to a hit and run and damage to State Department of Transportation property. That property, by the way, looks like a concrete barrier. So he said the driver was able to pull the vehicle off the exit and abandoned it to a nearby parking lot. And then the registration was connected to Richard Sherman. So we also know from Adam Schefter, who appeared on ESPN SportsCenter this morning, a couple new updates. So let's start here. Cut number one, Adam Schefter just gives a basic overview.
Now, police in Redmond would not confirm the name of the person, but it matches up to where at 2 a.m. Pacific time, police received a 911 call from a resident. The person calling said that an adult male family member who did not live there was attempting to force his way into the home. Police arrived. Suspect was located outside the home, fought with police, but was eventually apprehended, was taken to a hospital to be checked, but was cleared, and then booked into the King County Correctional Facility where he is right now.
So he has remained in jail and will remain there until he appears before a judge. And then we also have Adam Schefter kind of speculating and talking about Richard Sherman, the player, as his career. Cut number three, this is him wondering if it in any way jeopardizes Sherman's playing future.
Obviously a negative headline for Richard Sherman, who remains a free agent right now, and you wonder how this will affect and impact his NFL future going forward. Obviously, teams that would have been interested in him will want all the details they can get about this particular incident, about what did unfold before anybody would even consider signing Richard Sherman. But something like this has to jeopardize his future and NFL career.
I think that this is one that's really tough. Because Richard Sherman obviously is a big name here in this community, still is, you know. I mean, even though he's not a Seahawk anymore, or he hasn't been over the last 2 years, still been connected back with the possibility of him returning to the Seahawks. But more importantly, he has been entrenched in this community. He lives here in the off seasons. He still helps and donates money and is involved with charities here and is active in this community. So it's hard. It's hard to hear this type of news and also for it to be something that is out of character to a guy that we know of Richard Sherman, who he is and what he has been in the offseason. So my thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. I hope things are okay. I hope that, you know, things eventually come to a resolution. But as of right now, Stacey, I have to be honest. This does not look good. This does not look good. And obviously, as we get updates, as we get further and further down the road, and as maybe the hours or the days go by, we'll obviously get more clarification as to what exactly happened with Richard Sherman and the severity of the allegations that are against him at this current time.
Yeah, it's disappointing. And again, we'll be keeping an eye on the developments for this case, because it's not just any former player, and anytime this would happen to anyone, it would obviously be disappointing and upsetting. But Richard Sherman, not just because of his connection to this team during the height of its success and its Super Bowl run and back-to-back Super Bowls and their Super Bowl win and all of that, he was hugely culturally impactful in Seattle. but also has remained in Seattle, has remained a part of the community, even when he's been with the 49ers. And so I think for a lot of Seahawks fans, there is, I don't want to say like a personal connection, but this is a Seahawk who remains a legend and remains like just a special, special player for so many Seahawks fans. And so I know that people are curious as to the details of this case and are wondering where it's going to go. And so we're going to be tracking it for you guys and keeping an eye on any of those developments, because he may not be signed with the Seahawks, but a hugely important figure here in Seattle.
Definitely a hugely important figure here in Seattle. And as we move forward for Richard Sherman and his future and what he wants to do, I know he wants to continue to keep playing in the NFL. And is this going to be something that holds him back from that possibility? Obviously remains to be seen. We're all waiting on that information to come out. For somebody that, for me, that I've been around Sherman in the locker room, I've been around him off the field. This really, really surprised me. This really, really shocked me. I'm just really, again, my thoughts and prayers are out with him and his family right now, and hope that there is a resolution that comes to an end here that is eventually positive, or that is taking the right steps in the right direction here.
All right. So again, we're going to be watching this story. And as a reminder, we have plenty of other stuff for you guys today. ESPN senior NHL reporter Greg Wyshynski going to join us at noon. So we're going to get some Kraken talk in here, talking about the expansion draft. Got some Mariners talk coming your way, a Seahawks series beginning. And also, you want to stay tuned to 710 ESPN Seattle, as we're giving away Mariners tickets all day long today. So listen for the cue to call, and you could win two tickets to the July 24th Mariners game at T-Mobile Park. It's Mariners retro jersey night when the Mariners host Oakland, and the first 10,000 fans will score powder blue jerseys. So don't miss out, and you can get tickets today at Mariners.com. So your chance to win those coming up. And right now, it is time for headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacy.
Headline number one, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said that he doesn't expect seven-inning doubleheaders or automatic runners and extras will be part of the game going forward. What's the real headline?
The real headline is just that Rob Manfred has made a horrible decision to get rid of automatic runners and extra innings. I might be one of one people who likes this rule.
I think
appreciates
a lot of Mariners fans appreciate it.
It sure has helped the Mariners this season. I think that's been a huge part of your success in extras, or at least has allowed you to find success a little more easily there. I don't mind the rule. I've never had an issue with it. I'm not a baseball purist. And I also understand that some people who don't like the rule are not disliking it because they're purists. It's for other reasons, but man, I've liked the rule, personally.
Well, I don't like the rule, okay?
Wow,
I don't
like
the rule at all, in terms of I am already invested in this game. I have made it through the entire game, and now when it gets really, really interesting, and there's something on the line here with every pitch, with every hit, every plate appearance, now you want to speed it up. But in regards to the regular season, I actually do think it's appropriate. It's a 162-game season. These games can drag on. They can go on forever. I think this is a way to speed up the process. But when it comes to the playoffs, you can't have this rule, right? And we all know that. We all think that that is – I think we all can agree that you can't have this rule when it comes to playoff baseball. And I think that's when it would be appropriate, is regular season, not in the playoffs, which I know is what it currently is as of now. So I'm not as big of a hater against this rule, because ultimately it helps gets us through these 162 games just a little bit faster.
All I know is that when I retweeted it and said, I'm really bummed about this, someone responded to me, boo this man. Very upset with
wow.
me.
But yeah. What do you make of the news of Rob Manfred potentially destroying the shift altogether?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
If
really?
It means more balls are put in play, sure.
That's the thing. It's okay. Like, I don't mind rule changes to baseball that kind of experiment with how they can make the game better. You can take it back if you don't like it, but, I mean, try it out.
See, I don't mind it. I like the fact that I've always been a proponent of eliminating the shift.
I was going to say,
but
Jake.
I added this caveat to it, because I do think that teams should be able to add the shift in critical situations. Maybe give them one shift per batter per inning. I think that that would be a healthy compromise when you look at it, because in those situations, if you're a good hitter, you need to be able to hit opposite direction in some of these key critical moments. So I think overall it's a good thing. It's a good thing for baseball. I've been a proponent and an advocate for it. I just was surprised that Rob Manfred was going to say, hey, we might eliminate this thing altogether. I'll be interested to see if that ends up getting passed through.
All right, what's next?
Headline rewrites.
The American League continued their dominance of the National League last night, winning for the 20th time in the last 24 All-Star games. What is the real headline?
All-Star game now considering a promotion that touts the American League team as, quote, more dominant than the Patriots, but without the cheating. It was easy. Yeah. Low-hanging fruit. Come on.
That is,
at this point, you got to wonder if the National League is like tanking for a better draft pick. Like,
they might be.
They've
I don't know.
20 yeah. of 24.
The National League happen? Team's in a rebuild right now. They're in a step back.
It's not like they don't have studs. It's not like they don't have stars in the National
League. Well, and
that's been
like multiple generations of players, too.
That's
like,
what's weird about it.
That's like Barry Bonds, Mike Piazza, all those guys.
The best records in baseball right now. Well, the best record belongs to currently the Giants, right?
Correct.
So the three best teams, arguably, in baseball, and I don't want to say three best, but easily like NL West. Look at the Dodgers, the Padres, the Giants, just dominating.
So is the American League the Pete Alonso of All-Star games?
They just care about the All-Star games.
Yes.
Yeah, Pete Alonso.
They take it way more seriously than the National League for some reason. The American League's like, all right, guys. We're coming in this thing ready to roll.
National League. We're just here to have fun. We're here to have fun.
That's right.
I mean, even in that 24-year stretch, there was a portion of that time where home field advantage in the World Series was at stake, and that still didn't even help the National League take it seriously. There's like, who cares?
Whatever. We'll see you guys. We'll see you guys in the World Series.
I really do need some kind of study. Someone has too much extra time on their hands and needs to figure out why this is happening. Because, what was it, 20 out of 24?
20 out of 24, the American League has
won. That's uncanny.
In an All-Star game.
I think there's some Spygate stuff happening. I think we're going to uncover a huge All-Star game scandal with cameras in midfield and garbage can bins. The Astros... Like 5 years ago, we were like, you guys, listen, we don't need to just dominate in the regular season. We can dominate the All-Star game.
I mean,
too.
Hey, all the teams that were linked, like heavily linked to this, all American League teams.
Just saying.
Headline rewrites.
Speaking of that All-Star game, All-Star Mike Zunino homered off of All-Star Taiwan Walker. Here's how that sounded.
He flies one into right. And he has just left. 5-1 as Zunino goes deep over the wall in right. And the AL back on top by 4.
He's saying you can hit under 200 if you hit those kind of power numbers and homers that he's hit already this year.
First off, I'm glad Joe Buck got Mike Zunino's name right
that time.
In the pregame introductions, he called it Mike Zunino. What's the real headline?
Turns out Howdy did fix Mike Zunino. Unfortunately, he couldn't fix the Mariners' offseason spending habits.
Ooh.
And we were reminded of that by seeing Taiwan Walker at the All-Star game.
Well.
Hat on head, not in hand. Hat on head.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It really hurts and quite frankly ticks me off to see Taiwan Walker in the All-Star game. Not because of anything of Taiwan Walker. Super happy for him, but... Could you imagine Taiwan Walker in this rotation right now?
I mean, it doesn't take that much to imagine that because he was still here 365 days ago.
And guess what? He wanted to come back. That's what makes it so much worse. He wanted to be a Mariner.
Yeah, the Mariners wanted a bargain. And
yeah,
let me tell you what.
They didn't want to commit to multiple years.
Yeah. And you know, when you think about it, you know, the Mariners
not to come unglued thinking about this.
Mariners were just kind of expecting that, you know, those free agents, they're not going to find a great market.
Instead,
Taiwan Walker, what's he going to do?
Instead, they were like, you know what? Let's go cheaper and it'll be great because everybody will be so excited about the big Maple. He'll be back.
360.
We all fell for it.
360 on the Mac and Jacks text line also pointing out during Zunino's home run, Chris Taylor was playing center field for the National League.
Yeah.
And Omar Narvaez was the catcher for the National League.
So the Chris Taylor situation doesn't bother me as much. Would it be nice? Yes.
He was garbage as a Mariner.
Yeah, it's not like we dealt him and he, what are we doing? This guy's a stud. There was no foresight that he was going to become this player. The other one that bothers me is Omar Narvaez. He was one of those catchers and one of those players that I still didn't understand why they gave up. They traded him away and let him walk because he was great at the plate. He's still under 20, right? He was 27 when he was with the Mariners. And right now, you look at him at 29, be pretty good. Be pretty good to have that bat in your lineup.
Wouldn't hurt.
No, it definitely wouldn't hurt. So that was another one that I didn't quite understand why they let him walk when they did. Because the age matched up and his bat certainly matched up with what they wanted to do. So those were two all-stars watching that game going, what it could have been. And obviously Shohei Ohtani is the biggest pipe dream of all time.
All right, your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Mariners retro jersey night coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right. I said that I would keep you guys updated with developments for this story about Richard Sherman from Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times. There will be a 1:30 p.m. press conference with the Redmond Police Department, potentially with some more updates there. That's the latest on that news. Joining us now is Mike Salk, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, biggest story today, obviously the arrest of Richard Sherman early this morning on charges of burglary, domestic violence. What was your initial reaction?
Well, we don't know a lot yet, right? I mean, trying to figure out exactly what has happened. I mean, burglary, domestic violence is not a term and charge that I'm familiar with. Heard some of these stories, and I saw the report a few minutes ago that there had been potentially a hit-and-run accident. You know, without passing on talking about it, you know, I don't want to pass judgment yet, obviously, Stacey, because we just don't know enough about what happened. There hasn't even been a police report yet for us to read to start giving us a sense of what they think even happened. But, you know, obviously not a great moment for Richard Sherman. If there was indeed a hit and run, if there was some form of an attempt to break into the home of a family member, and if there was any sort of threat towards a woman in his family, you know, that's a really, really bad scene and a bad night for a guy that, you know, look, Richard's had his troubles. I mean, he not that the two are necessarily equivalent or connected, but was suspended for the PED usage and then ended up, you know, the technicality that got him out of that. You know, he sort of lived this double life thing where, you know, you get the Richard Sherman that we see most of the time, and he's so smart and he has so much to say and he's constantly using words in a really eloquent fashion. And then, you know, I guess maybe there's another side of Sherm that we don't know nearly as much about.
You know, Salk, obviously we're staying away from a lot of this stuff, but when it comes to the impact that he has in this community, it hits a little bit differently here in Seattle because this isn't just a former player, right? This is somebody that is still entrenched in this community. How do you describe how most Seattle fans or even yourself who covered him extensively feel about this news today?
Well, that's complicated, right? Just your feelings for Sherman in general are complicated. You're right about what you said, though, about his entrenchment in this community. I mean, the fact that he's even here, right, that this arrest didn't take place in the Bay Area, didn't take place in Los Angeles. It took place in the suburbs of Seattle, where Sherm still spends quite a bit of time and has a lot of connection here to the community. Yeah, he's been incredible with the community here, right? I mean, you know, there's so many great memories when you think of Richard Sherman. I mean, everything from obviously his play on the field and taunting Tom Brady and the tip obviously being chief amongst them. But when I think of him, I think the thing I remember and think of most is just his introduction to the crowd at home at CenturyLink Field with his arms spread wide, soaking it all in, doing his little 360. I love it. I think it's one of the all-time great entrances. It's like world wrestling, WWE-style entrance music, the way Sherm would come into the building and be introduced to the home crowd. There was a special connection, and I think what fans loved so much about him was the mouth. That Seattle is not necessarily a mouthy place. It's not a place that clamors for respect nationally, but what it does do is get mad that it doesn't just get that respect. Why are we the ones who always have the worst Fox team? Why are we always the ones that has to deal with, you know, music being tried underneath the game? Why are we ignored? Why is it always a former Yankees prospect instead of a current Mariners one, right? Seattle clamors for some of that attention on the national sports stage, and Sherm didn't wait around for it. He did what Seattleites almost want to do but aren't really built to do, which is demand it. Use his mouth, use his words, back it up on the field, and demand it. And I think it's one of the reasons he will always be beloved here and always have a special place in Seattle Seahawks lore. That, of course, pending the results of what happens here.
Speaking of the results, it's a developing story. So those were just the details we have now, and unfortunately all the details we have now. So we will keep you guys posted as we find out more information. Still a couple minutes left here, though, with Mike Salk. Mike, one thing we were also talking about earlier was just the number of former Mariners in the All-Star game. It's not a ridiculous amount, but I mean, seeing, for instance, Zunino hit a home run off Walker, and you've got a couple other guys there, some that Jake wasn't as concerned about, like Chris Taylor, who wasn't fantastic when he was here. But do you ever have kind of like pings of regret when you watch that? Or is it something where you see it and you think, you know what, at the time this made sense? Like, at the time I got my
guy. Yeah, it depends on who it is. I mean, the Chris Taylor one's a bad trade. DePoto got it wrong. I mean, he knows it. He recognizes it. He's admitted it. He's talked about it. The Dodgers unlocked Chris Taylor's potential in a way that the Mariners could not, and that's on them. He owns it. That's a mistake. You know, in the offseason, I think it was a mistake to sign James Paxton over Taijuan Walker. If I'll given the choice between the two, I said at the time, and I'll say it again, it's not revisionist history. I'll take the athleticism of Walker over the injury history of Paxton. And quite frankly, that's exactly the way that's played out. So, you know, those two are mistakes. I don't mind seeing Nelson Cruz there. I mean, they let him go because they were going to enter a different phase of their rebuilding. The same with Omar Narvaez. Like, it doesn't bother me to see Narvaez there. He's a fine player. Is he an all-star? Kind of. I mean, I know he's technically an all-star. Was he a great catcher? No. And I think I'd say the same about Mike Zunino. I don't regret even a little bit of that trade. Quite frankly, if they'd wanted him back this offseason, they could have just signed him as a free agent. He's not playing under his rookie deal that they traded anymore. He was available for anybody to sign this year, and they decided not to. So it's okay to have former players in the All-Star game. The bigger issue is, when are your All-Stars going to get there, right? I was bummed not seeing J.P. Crawford there. I understand why Kikuchi got the nod over him, but just watching the game last night, and I really enjoyed watching it, I just kind of thinking to myself, man, we could use J.P. Crawford out here. And part of the reason is I love all of the in-game conversations that they have with players while they're playing. I think it's great. It adds so much personality, and I love the whole thing. J.P. Crawford would have been perfect for that, and I guess that was one of the things I found myself thinking about.
You know, Salk, one of the things I found myself thinking about through that process is seeing these young stars, seeing these young superstars with their teams come through their system, and it gives me a lot of anxiety when it comes to guys like Kelnick, when it comes to guys like Julio Rodriguez, and we know they're highly touted and all of that, but that's really what takes this thing to the next level, right? And seeing these kids pan out and come together, what is your thought process in terms of needing young stars within your club, you know, taking this thing to the next step?
Well, it's a must. I mean, if that doesn't happen, then this doesn't work. I mean, it's as simple as that. You have bet the farm on the idea that maybe not all, but that some of these young superstar potential guys are going to turn into the kind of players that you were watching last night, right? I mean, Kelnick and Rodriguez and Gilbert and Hancock and, you know, Kirby, and, you know, hopefully you hit on one or two others. Maybe Raleigh turns into an all-star. You need that group to turn into something special. And I think most great teams are built that way. Not all, there's exceptions to everything, but for the most part, great teams are built by bringing up a group through the system at around the same time that coalesce and really do great things once they reach the show. And I think, you know, as you watch some of the players there last night, the hope is that you're going to see the same thing from your guys in another year or two.
He's Mike Salk, joins us every weekday at 11:30. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right. We want to send you to the July 24th Mariners game. So call 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. In 1 minute if you're listening on the radio or 30 seconds if you're on the stream, caller number 3 will win 2 tickets to Mariners Retro Jersey Night on July 24th. Again, those numbers are 206-421-3776, 206-421-3776, or 866-979-3776. We're giving away a pair of Mariners tickets each hour today, so stay tuned to 710 ESPN Seattle for your next chance to win. Jake and I spoke to 3 experts, 3 reporters and analysts from around the NFC West, and it gave us some insight not just into the NFC West, the division as a whole, but into what the Seahawks need to do to be able to win. And so that is kind of paving the way for our top 15 most important Seahawks heading into the 2021 season. We'll tell you what we learned next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Congratulations to Connor and Kennewick, the winner of this first hour of Mariners tickets to Retro Jersey Night. If you were not the caller number 3, don't worry, because we're going to be giving away those Mariners tickets each hour today. So you will get 2 other shots during our show. And then, of course, you get more shots during Wyman and Bob following us. So stay tuned right here all day, 710 ESPN Seattle. Jake and I talked to 3, I was saying NFC West experts, but we talked to 3 people that cover other teams in the NFC West. So we had interviews with ESPN's Josh Weinfuss, NBC Sports Bay Area's Jennifer Lee Chan, and then Rams radio analyst and former Husky DeMarco Farr. And they all taught us a lot about other teams in this division, but also a little bit about the Seahawks, a little bit about ourselves, and most importantly, what the Seahawks need to do to win this division. So coming up at 1 p.m., Jake and I are going to start our most 15 most important Seahawks.
Yeah, and we're listing them in order by who we think are the most important. So,
yes,
you know, we're going to start with the 15th most important player today for the Seahawks. And as we go through that process, I mean, you and I were going through this, Curtis, as a group. We were going through this list and having our debates and all that. I think we put a pretty good list together, but these are 15 players, and obviously there's much more in this 53-man roster that matter, but 15 players that if they step up, if they play at their best ability, this team not only has the ability to win the division, they have the ability to, you know, hoist the Lombardi Trophy.
Yes.
And that's just the reality of where this team is. It's such a unique spot to be in where the Seahawks are, where you're in the toughest division in football, and you're fighting for the opportunity to win the division, and it's a tough race, but at the same time, you're not necessarily deemed the most talented roster in the division, but your roster is definitely good enough to hold its own, and it at its best, it's a Super Bowl winning quality type of roster, but a lot of things have to go right.
And among the things that have to go right, these 15 players have to have phenomenal seasons. It is of the utmost importance that these 15 players have great years for the Seahawks. And we'll tell you why this player matters. I will say there is one controversial decision that will affect number 15 today. It was very controversial in the sports pit when Jake, Curtis, and I were deciding. But I feel like I made my case, even though Curtis called my list Stacy's diaper list.
Wow. I mean... Yeah, I did call it that.
You did call it Stacy's diaper list.
Yeah.
Jake backed me up on it.
To say the least, we are a very competitive group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to say the least.
I wanted mine to be the stand above all list.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen, so I had to take Stacy down a notch.
And that's completely understandable, and I would expect nothing
Words
less.
Were said, feelings were hurt, but I think we've moved past, right?
I mean, I thought so,
I
but clearly not. She brought this up on live radio, so.
Have not moved past it. But I feel like I ultimately got my way with pick number 15, swapping it with another pick. It will be very controversial. There will be people that will very much disagree with it, which is why I'm kind of excited to start with number 15 today at 1 p.m. I feel like it's going to be a surprise for you guys.
Yeah, it will be. It will be a good surprise. And I think that when it comes down to the Seahawks and their goals and their aspirations, and one of the things that stood out to me more so than anything else, I think the 49ers and the Rams are very entrenched and know exactly who they are, exactly who their star players can be, what to expect from this group. The 49ers, the big question for them is about injuries, right? And can they stay healthy through the year? But they know who the contributors are going to be, who the star players are for their franchise. The Rams, it's the same exact thing. The big question they have is about Matt Stafford and how quickly that transition can be. But when it comes to questions like the Cardinals, everything pretty much about the Cardinals is, well, if this happens, then it'll be great about this. If this can happen, then it'll be great about that. Because there is a lot of reaching that I think the Cardinals ended up doing in the offseason with some of the additions that they made. For the Seahawks, there wasn't reaching that ended up happening. There were not...
They didn't have a lot to use to reach. They didn't have a lot of draft capital. They didn't have a lot of money.
They didn't. But the one thing that I will give them credit with is that I didn't see a Mike Iupati signing out there where you're looking at this guy and you're going, man, he is on his last legs without a doubt, and they are trying to get the most out of nothing, right? I did not see that from the Seahawks this year. And I think that that was a positive step in the right direction. The area that they have the most concern about, they added a ton of competition, young competition, unproven competition to try and, and I'm talking about the cornerback spot, to try and create that always compete mentality and let the cream rise to the top. But for the most part, I think that they made little tweaks to their rosters, to their roster with known commodities. And the question is, how much can they reach their ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
How much can their systems and schemes and philosophies help these individual players maximize their ability? Because I think that they have the talent to be able to be a good football team that not only wins their division, but gets deeper into the playoffs.
There's also from Jennifer Lee Chan, who we spoke with about the 49ers. We asked her, hey, what's the Achilles heel for the defense? And she talked about the mobile quarterbacks being trouble for even a healthy 49ers defense. But she also added, look, no team, no matter what any Super Bowl Vegas betting odds have for a team, no team in the West is going to get a gimme. This will be the toughest division in football, and the games that these four teams have against each other for half their schedule will be some of their tougher games. And I think because of that, she added, you've got to have a little something extra on offense and defense. She's like, it's not just offense versus defense, who's better. It's what do you have that that team doesn't that's extra? What do you have, not just that that team doesn't, but that most teams don't? So again, when we make this list, I think what I was also trying to think of was, how could this player give you something that maybe no other team in your division does? How could this player at his ceiling, at his peak, give you an advantage over a replacement level player or over just a random linebacker, over a random receiver? How could this guy give you a little bit of something extra?
Yeah, I like that. And I think that's really important. Now, Stacey, with this roster as it sits right now, and you look at the top 15 guys, and we obviously we don't want to spoil anything, so we're not going to say the names, but as you look at this top 15, are there any real question marks or serious doubts that you have about this group as a whole, individuals?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there are some guys on this list that have had injury concerns or that for some reason may not reach their ceiling this year, but they are capable of doing it. They are capable of having great years, and it is hugely important that they do. But there are guys on here, and we'll say that when we go into detailing each player, like what needs to go right, what might go wrong, but like what can go right.
Yeah, and I think that that's really important to highlight here is that obviously someone asked the question, okay, so is it most important generally? Is it who has to really have a stellar season? Who has to take the step beyond? I responded back on the Mac and Jack text line and said all the above. Like that's why these are the top 15 most important players. Their performances are most important to this team's success. And I think that that's going to be really crucial as we break this list down. And as you go through the list and you go through these individual names, it is going to be vital in order for them to have the success that they are looking for. And in order for this team to get to where they want to be, the expectations that this team has, the most important aspect about this is the fact that you look at this team, there's not room for error. This isn't, hey, we're looking at this 2-3 years from now. This is Super Bowl window right here, right now. And I think that that's why it's so much fun when we talk about the Seahawks, who needs to step up, who needs to have a great year, because the impact can be tremendous.
All right, we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners are still on a break, but they'll return with a series on the road against the Angels on Friday. First pitch will be at 6:38 p.m. Pre-game show starts at 5:30 p.m. right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. You've got questions about the Seattle Kraken and the NHL expansion draft, and we've got the perfect guy to bring you answers. ESPN senior NHL reporter Greg Wyshynski joins us in just a few minutes. So don't go anywhere.